I didn't attend much. I had that opinion that I wasn't needed.
I fully acknowledge that I was a passenger at times.
I left the room and I was like, but they're my results.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Mailbag, where we answer your questions. It's one of our favourite things to do, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I love it. When a question drops in, you wish you could respond straight away, but sometimes we hold them for this and sometimes we reply, don't we? So, yeah, it's definitely one of our favourite.
God, I'd hate to ask you a question. I always reply. And then I say, do you mind if we take this to the...
Oh, I always reply. No, I'm kind. Just leave them on the... Get hold of us, send us a message, and then never reply to us.
Sends Kieran a message, say, hi, mate, yeah, thanks for your question. I'll address this in 4 weeks on our next episode.
I maybe explained that a little bit. It's nice to use them as well.
I knew what you meant. Sorry, I'm just winding you up.
I know, you're constantly winding me up.
We can't really put context to it, but we've had quite a stressful morning, haven't we?
But yeah. Yeah, you have. I've had quite a few stressful
days. You've had a laugh as a result of what I've had, some hot potatoes I've had to juggle, but we've done it. So it's all good.
Juggled very well indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into it. So this week, it's not a direct question, but it's a theme that's come up quite a lot. And it came up this week with one of my coaching clients, actually, where he and his wife were sat in the waiting room at their clinic and the nurse or whoever came in and called out his missus's name for their appointment, and only her name, not Mr. and Mrs., not first name, just her name. And it's male factor that therefore, and it's not about apportioning reasons or like a headline person for why you're there, but it just, as it's male factor, it really stuck with him. It's like he didn't feel very validated. So he said, how do I advocate for myself in these situations and generally across the board with fertility treatment, because as we've seen, we experience ourselves, people we speak to all the time now, still men are like passengers in these appointments and not being addressed, not being called out your name. We heard from someone else in the community recently, didn't we, that again, male factor, his other half was called by the clinic to ask him to come in to give bloods. And it's, yeah, you've got my number, phone me. So it's a recurring theme. And I said to this guy in my coaching session, I was like, do you mind if I take this to a mailbag episode? He said, no, of course not. Yeah, it's, like I said, it's something that comes up time and time again. So the general kind of question / topic is, how do I better advocate for myself in the clinical space and in terms of the treatment? So yeah, it's a really interesting thing, and it needs to be addressed as well.
This is something that comes up regularly, and both you and me have experienced it. And it, if there's any professionals listening to this, you have to really acknowledge like how much this impacts a man's experience of fertility treatment not being acknowledged, even in the simplest way. In the simplest way, it just says, we see you, you're in the room, especially when you're there because of male factor. Like it is for me, for example, like we had an hour and 15 minute drive to the fertility clinic. So I'd sit there. And then when they called Jen out, and then they say, oh, you can come too. It's like, it took me an hour to get here. And
I'm not just the chauffeur.
Yeah, we're not just driving door to door.
Yeah,
it really impacts what a man's experience. And it's one of the big things that we're really keen on changing. So I think it's a perfect topic to discuss.
Yeah, I think, and I'm going to say here as well, this is like a caveat. Based on my own experience, I'm not going to talk on behalf of anyone else, but also I fully acknowledge that I was a passenger at times in those appointments. So it's not all about, oh, we're not being addressed in that. If, as we know as well, by and large, you're not spending that much time with the doctors, urologists, whoever else, a lot of your time is with nurses, admin staff, for example. So when you are in an appointment with a doctor and you've got like 20 minutes or whatever, they need to get their message across in that time in the most efficient way that they can. If they see someone who sat there, like I was, with that 1,000-yard stare, like in shock or whatever else, they're probably going to be like, I'm going to talk to that other person who's taking this in and asking questions. Firstly, I and I say that, I went through that. But then I also realized that in doing that, not on purpose, of course, we're talking trauma, shock, grief, ego as well. Let's not get away from it. But I realized after a while that in doing that, I was putting an extra burden on Jenna because we were coming out of those appointments. And I was then having to ask her what the hell just happened, what got said, what did this mean, what did that mean? That's a lot of extra pressure on my missus. And I realized I had to sort myself out a little bit in that appointment setting. The way I really started bringing myself, making myself more present was by taking notes. And by doing that, I realized I was actively listening. Because I had to take in what they were saying to be able to transcribe it on paper, shorthand, keywords, or whatever. It's not about writing down everything verbatim, unless you're a journalist who can do shorthand. I couldn't do that, but it then meant that I was listening. And then by being present, by listening, rather than just hearing them talk, actually listening, I was then able to ask questions, follow up there and then, because as we all know, and it's nothing worse than leaving that room and then wanting clarification and then having to try and get back through to the clinic and even the doctor as well. Because if they've said something very specific that perhaps needs that further explanation, or if you're phoning up that quickly that they haven't maybe put it on their system or whatever, and it's not there, and then you need to phone back the next day or whatever, and then you leave it or whatever else, the best option is, if you can, to be asking those questions there and then. And when I started doing that, it was a game changer for me, because it made me feel like I was actually in the room, not just in physical presence, but mentally as well. I was playing my part. I was asking questions. I was then being able to support Jenna. I was not having to come out and ask her what the hell just happened. And it gave me more clarity. And that's a huge form of advocating for yourself, by being there and really, truly listening.
At the Male Fertility Podcast, we know how powerful the right support can be, which is why we've partnered with Fertility Family to share input. And nutrition matters when it comes to fertility. But let's be honest, maintaining a perfectly balanced diet for conception is incredibly hard. Choosing a supplement can be just as confusing, especially when many multivitamins contain strong antioxidants that can actually harm sperm quality. Impril is different. It's made from activated micronutrients that support every cell in the body, from the largest, the egg, to the smallest, the sperm. These nutrients have been clinically shown to significantly improve live birth rates in men and women who have previously been struggling to conceive. Impril is different. It's made using activated micronutrients that support every cell in the body, from the largest, the egg, to the smallest, the sperm. These nutrients have been clinically shown to significantly improve live birth rates in men and women who have previously struggled to conceive. What we like is that behind the science at Fertility Family are real stories from real people. To find out more, visit www.fertilityfamily.co.uk. And if you decide it's right for you, our listeners get 10% off using the code MFPOD10. That's MFPOD10. Now, back to the episode. Biggest thing for me, and you touched on it already, mate, during those first two cycles, I didn't attend much because I almost had that, how can I put it? I had that opinion that I wasn't needed, but I was needed. And actually just taking control, because we've talked about control so much in terms of taking control and having those conversations with work and making sure I was present, that was my first step to understanding and advocating for myself. I turned up, you know, and like you've said, it's making notes. For me, notes were difficult. So what me and Jen would debrief afterwards, I try and actively listen. And sometimes that's challenging. I think because I started becoming more present later on down the journey, it was easier for me because I actually really wanted some answers. Those early stages, during those early consultations, I was like a deer in headlights. And there's nothing, you know, I think it's important to say initially, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You're processing, being kind to yourself is okay. But At some point, as you said, you've got to take that little bit of acknowledgement and responsibility for taking on board what's being said. So for me, that the first part of that was actually turning up and being actively present there for Jen, because it wasn't fair on her to constantly have to come back and relay all this information to me because of the shame and the guilt I was feeling.
Question, when you said that you, in the early days, you didn't feel that you were needed, was that from yourself, like your internal dialogue, or was that a feeling you picked up from anyone?
I think there's two parts of that. I think I could answer that in both categories. Like, I felt worthless at some points. We've talked about how bad things got for me. So to make myself feel better, they don't need me. For this, I don't need to give a sample, so I don't need to go. Now I know that's completely wrong. Jen needed me. And that was the key bit there. From a clinic point of view, they weren't addressing me. I wasn't getting the letters. I wasn't getting the communication that I really wanted. I probably wouldn't have loved it at the time, but it would have been great for someone to ring me and say, Kieran, we need you in for a sample this date. Please, if anyone's listening that has received a phone call from their clinic directly to them saying that we need you in for this sample, I'd like to hear about it, because I never got that. It always came through Jen, or came through a meeting or a consultation where there was a second person that got to me. It was generally Jen. She was like, you need to be here doing this. So yeah, I got the feeling of, I'll be called when I need. And that in itself is a lonely place. But it works slightly differently for me because of my processing, in terms of once I started to attend, me and I'd listen as much as I could, and then afterwards, me and Jim would have a little debrief about the key things. And then I would make notes at home and any questions that I had. And then I would send emails in. I was comfortable with that because it worked for me. But if you're there in the room and you can ask a question straight away, you're going to get an answer straight away. But it's important for guys to know that you've got to do what works for you.
And like I say, and that's an important point to make, actually, because I say about making notes, that might not work for someone, but just by actively listening, there's ways of doing that as well. Because again, you can have it where you might, I say the difference between hearing and listening, where someone's talking and the words just aren't going in. Really, truly actively listening and then reflecting back what you've just been told. And there's a way you can say that, look, let me just ensure that I've understood you correctly here. Reflect back what they've said. And then that reinforces your learning and listening from that appointment, not least because there's all these words, scientific words, clinical words that we're being told that we just don't simply have the education around, because why would we? Azoospermia, spermatogenesis, or whatever else, microtesia, what this, what that. So just ask questions.
Yeah.
I think that's key. And then by doing that, you're showing that you are present.
Yeah. Even if it is just asking questions initially, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah.
It shows the consultant as well that you are there, you're in that room, and they're fully aware that it's a challenging situation to kind of get up to speed with.
Because
there's so much, the dialogue can be crazy, the whole situation can be, feel very uncontrollable. They're fully aware of that. But as you said, mate, they've got 20 minutes with you, so they've got to get to the objective.
Yeah.
But there are definitely, like you've outlined, there are ways you can immediately advocate for yourself, and just showing that you're actively listening means that once they get to know you, because hopefully they will over a period of time, if you're seeing the same consultant, they'll predict what you'd want. How you'd want it delivered, and they will start changing. They should do. That's what a good consultant would do, and delivering in that suits you. But that only comes with you trying to
put that across. Yeah,
yeah, and just be present.
Yeah, and I think just on the point of not being called, whether it's on the phone or in the waiting room type thing, I think there a polite conversation hopefully would change that. And then not just change it for yourself, but change it for future patients as well, when it's pointed out to someone. And they won't be doing it on purpose. We're not throwing shade on anyone in clinics here. It's just, they go through, it's routine. And I don't know what it is about it, just when it just becomes a habit, why the female partner is called more often or whatever, stereotypes, whatever else. But just by saying, look, I'm part of this too. I wouldn't mind being called out as part of a partnership, or you've got my number on file if you have any questions. And in some cases, like, people, like, the man can be more contactable depending on work situations. Mm. Just, and put that across. Say, look, my wife can't always get to her phone during the day on my other half. Call me. Like, look, I'm here. I can take that message. I can appropriately disseminate any information. So just letting them know. And I'm sure there's no malice in it. It's just routine and habit has taken over. And just by reminding people that you're very much part of the equation, politely, constructively, I'm sure that would be what's needed in that case.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I remember having, I've got to get this the right way. I remember being, Jen being asked in front of me if it was okay if they ever needed to contact me about stuff. And it was like, really? No one ever
did. You really must have had that deer in headlights look on your face at that point for them to ask, you know, that.
I really remember that. I really do remember that. And it was one of those moments. You know, I left the room and I was like, but they're my results. But hey, well, they were our results, I should say. But they needed equal. And I think they asked Jen the same question. Is it okay if we ring Jen? It was a really bizarre situation. But maybe that's what needs to happen. Are you okay with this? Are you okay with that? Yes, thank you. We move on.
What would you prefer? Yeah, just ask. It might be that for whatever reason, you want someone needs to be the one that's called. Like I said, like availability or perhaps like communication difficulties or whatever. So just put that across. And that is the true example of advocating for yourself. Get your needs, wants and desires across.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably, without going over, I can't think of anything else, but yeah, it's just about bringing yourself into the room in more ways than one.
Yeah, 100%. The only other thing I'd slightly add to that is if you're going to contact outside of, say, that consultation room, understand their policies around it, give it a read, educate yourself how that clinic itself works, because they'll have things on it about communication. And it just gives you that little bit of knowledge so you know that if you're going to send an email and they've got 48 hours to get back to you, you're not constantly thinking, oh, they're ignoring me. It's just the process they go through. And once again, ask that in the consultations themselves. Anything you need, there's no such thing as a silly question. They'll just give you the answer. So, yeah, I think that covers it well, man.
Yeah, and if you ever have any doubts, just come to our community, bring it there, and people will tell you their experiences and what's worked for them, what hasn't. So that's what we're there for.
100%. There's a wealth of experience in there. And as we've said many a time, you and me are just two people. There's nearly 200 people in that community now, and it's 200 brains, 200 experiences. So it's incredible, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, yeah, a good one and a vital one. So thanks for getting your questions in. Like I said, that one is just a recurring theme. But yeah, absolutely. If you want to contact us for any questions, you can either do it directly if you're in the Nexus Fertility community in the WhatsApp there. Send us a private message, or you can DM us on Instagram on any of ours. The podcast one is...
it's just the Male Fertility Podcast. Send us a message over and we'll get back to you. And obviously, if you want to send one over to the Nexus account as well, that's just Nexus Fertility. I'll get my words out there, Nexus Fertility.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to you. I promise I won't leave it until the next mailbag to get back to you.
No, we do reply. We always reply. And that's what we're here for. DMs are always open.
That's it, man. All right, buddy. I'll speak to you in the next one. Thanks for listening. If this episode has helped you, do us a quick favor and leave us a review. You don't even have to use your real name. Every single review helps another man find this show when he needs it the most. It's honestly the best way you can help the next guy. If you've got a question or something you'd like us to talk about in the mailbag, please drop us an email at themalefertilitypodcast@gmail.com. We read every message that comes through. And if you'd like a bit more guidance and support from other men on the same journey as you, you're welcome to join our free private community at nexusfertility.com. It's totally confidential and designed just for you by men who get it. For the latest updates, follow us on social media at themalefertilitypodcast. Remember, you're not alone.